Hello, welcome to What the CF, a cystic fibrosis podcast with me, Ingrid Grenard. Finally, it's been quite a while since we put an episode out, and this is actually attempt two at creating this episode. After a few back and forth and trying to find time to make a recording and make a recording that makes sense, which surprisingly can be quite difficult sometimes with everything else that goes on in life. So first up, I want to say a huge thank you to all the messages and support that we received when we were in hospital with our little CFA. We really appreciate all the messages and people checking in on us. Thank you so much to everyone that donated on the Buy Me a Coffee as well. It was such a huge help, especially with the parking, with coming back and forth. And it's really lovely to get the support of people that only know us through the podcast. It really means a lot that we've been able to hopefully provide you with something that you find useful. So really big heartfelt thanks for your support in every way, however you've provided it. So let's just start with how you get in touch with us, because I love hearing from you. I get some brilliant messages about the podcast that I keep meaning to read out and collate, but life's been quite hectic. So again, big thank you for contacting us. But we get some great messages basically thanking us for creating the podcast, saying that it makes them feel less alone or they can identify with the topic. Often it's people who've got a new diagnosis and they find it really useful. So keep getting in touch and keep telling us what you want to hear about and what information you want, so we can go out and make the episodes that the community want us to make. If you want to get in touch with us, all you need to do is you can find us on Instagram, WhatTheCFPod. You can find us on our website at whatthecf.com. You can email us on wtcfpod@gmail.com. And you can find us also on the Facebooks. It is What the CF Pod as well. So we're What the CF, a cystic fibrosis podcast. And you can also, as I have thanked people before, you can buy us a coffee on buymeacoffee.com/WTCF pod. We really appreciate any support you can throw our way to help us make the podcast and keep making the podcast. Or if you just like the content that you hear and you want to say thank you, Buy Me a Coffee is a great way to do that.
You are listening to What to See Ya.
Now, back to the pod. So I think this is episode 16. Been quite a gap since our last episode, which anyone that follow us will probably know why, but there's been a lot going on. But there has also been some cool stuff going on. So I got to go to the New Zealand Podcast Summit, which is a gathering of all New Zealand podcasters, people in the industry, people who want to be in the industry, students, and as well as journalists. Radio New Zealand are there, Stuff were there, The Spin-off were there, all talking about the podcasting environment and community in New Zealand. And I took part in a session to talk about the What the CF podcast. I don't really mind public speaking too much, but I was very nervous about speaking in public about something so personal. So obviously I do it here on the podcast, but it's different in front of an audience of a couple hundred people. And it went really, really well. I think I could have gone a bit further with it, but I kept it as, I tried not to be too emotional in the words that I'd written to present, because I wanted to be able to present it, but there was enough heft of emotional heft in there to provoke a lot of emotion in the audience. What was really great was people were really captivated with our stories from the get-go, and actually got some applause at a couple of parts of my presentation, particularly talking about Trikafta. One, what it could actually do, as in adding the extra healthy years of life and allowing people to live a fuller life. And also the fact that it got funded, as well as this podcast being nominated for a podcast award. People, I think, were very supportive and appreciated hearing something that they would definitely not have heard about, because it just isn't in their radar, as all of us know. Until you're in this situation, you just don't know. So managed to get through that without crying, which was really good. And it really had quite a positive spin on it. And I was just inundated by people afterwards who just thought it was a brilliant idea, a brilliant story, amazing developments in treatment that they didn't know about CF. Lots of people actually did know about CF as well, or had had personal experience with it. So that was also great to connect, you know, people were either friends with at school or work colleagues or other people they knew with CF. So that was actually really a great connection to have. And I'm really proud to have taken our little podcast there. We also managed to raise $140 with chocolate fish sales. So that was another bonus. So I hope to go again next year and find out what else is going on there. But yeah, I mean, this is a very unique space and a unique tool to engage with a community. And when you go to things like the Podcast Summit, you hear about all the other different niche communities, as well as the mainstream news podcasts and crime podcasts and other wild and weird ideas that people come up with. So it's nice to know we all have our place. And if you want to talk to your people, you can just grab a microphone or grab your phone and record your thoughts and put it out there. And hopefully you'll get some lovely listeners like we do for What the CF. So that was one really cool thing. The not so cool thing was being in hospital with our little CF, which I said at the beginning. So Orson is going to be 4 in August, and we were in hospital back in April. But it came about after about at least 4 weeks of sickness. And I had been kind of contacting our hospital team and saying, you know, he's still not right, and we were having different antibiotics, and I think we'd have at least 4 weeks of antibiotics, and he just wasn't getting well. He was at daycare and got sent home from daycare with a really sudden high fever, and during that week he'd been complaining quite a lot about stomach ache, which was also not really like him. He's a very laid-back character, so we gave him some paracetamol. We thought about taking him to hospital, but we gave him some paracetamol and he perked up, his temperature went down. We thought, okay, maybe it's just one of those things where they just get the fever and they calm down. However, his brother came home from school and they played together and it was all happy days, went to bed, and you know, by 9:30 he woke up crying in pain for his stomach and massive fever, like 40 degree plus fever. So we obviously rushed him to Starship. Now, I've got another son, so I was staying at home and Ian, my husband, took him to hospital. I grabbed a bag, packed a bag, both a couple of things for Ian, but mainly for Orson, because I had a feeling that he would be staying there. And they were in hospital for a few hours and he was literally about to get sent home when they said, well, let's do a chest x-ray because he's got CF and see what's going on. And that's when they were like, oh, okay, no, you're staying. X-ray was not good. So what was interesting, which is probably worth noting for parents of young children, was his tummy pain was chest pain, we realised. When he was saying about how much pain he was in, it was his lungs that was hurting, particularly his left side, which was actually what the x-ray showed as well. And he kept pointing, but, you know, there, it's on the torso and he's saying tummy. He wouldn't know to say chest or anything like that. So that's what we realised. And then we were like, oh, why didn't we think of that? You know, because he's not been well. Why wouldn't we clock? And we just hadn't. We just like, oh, he's not well and he's got this tummy pain. When all along it was the lungs, obviously. Seems so obvious now. So that's probably quite a good thing to know about how they reference their body and the fact that, you know, anything in that area, they're calling it tummy, which, you know. So, I mean, it's also something that we can start to say to him, going, this is your chest and this is where your lungs are, and like start to explain to him where parts of his body are, which obviously is very useful when you're in hospital. So anyway, Orson got admitted and was pretty poorly for the first 2 or 3 days, but he started antibiotics straight away, had a line put in his hand, and was on a general antibiotic, I believe. And he was started nebulizers, which he'd never had before. And he just did absolutely amazing with those. We were calling them Darth Vader masks and dragon masks. He had an inhaler, and then 2 masks and then physio twice a day. So it was a full-on routine compared to, you know, that we would just do the percussion physio at home. So this was a whole new thing for him, and he did really take it in his stride. He got progressively less agreeable over the week as he got better, actually. The better he was, the more he'd argue with things. Makes sense, because he's got better things to do with his day than sit doing masks and having pats and blowing bubbles into bottles and things. But overall, it gave us a really good physio toolkit for when we went home and really reset us as well in our routine, which I'm grateful for, because that was something that we were really struggling with anyway. And the physio really had he responded really well to it and was coughing up a lot and doing everything that you would want your CFO to be doing with the physio. So that was really good. I did find some of the conversations with the physio a bit challenging, because I know it's difficult because they're seeing different people all the time, but you feel a bit outnumbered sometimes, and there would be two of them sort of explaining stuff. And I think I'd been under the impression, and I was given this impression from the CF team, that you know, going into hospital they sort of take over the physio and it almost is a bit of a break for you, and that wasn't the case in our situation. It was very much like, look, this is what he's going to do and you need to do it so that you know how to do it. And that's when it could get a bit stressy, because Orson would be a bit more agreeable with me and I knew the times to do it. But when there was set times when they came, it wasn't always the right time for him to be doing it. Sometimes he'd be good, sometimes he wouldn't. Sometimes I'd leave because I thought he might respond better if I wasn't there. But generally, if it was just me and him, he was fine, which is why it became frustrating when the physios were kind of like, oh, you know, it's really important. He's got to do this and you've got to do this. And I was like, yeah, I know. I know, and it actually does happen, but not under these circumstances. And I think sometimes for parents, it's difficult to explain, but we know our children really well and how they react to certain things. And you can sense the tension when it's not working. So you kind of feel like, this is not a battle worth doing right now. Let me. So I found that quite challenging and stressful, probably, again, just because you're in a heightened situation that is not normal, and you don't get a break away from that hospital situation. We would have the morning rounds, and obviously there's normally about four of them that come in with the doctor, and then the juniors and the different trainees and so on come in. So again, that's quite like a rabbit in a headlight sometimes. And with the jargon and language that can be used, there's an assumption that you would know what they're talking about, and sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. And you've got to have the voice to be able to speak up in those moments. And that can be difficult. A, you're tired and emotional. And it's not always a space you're going to be comfortable in. So again, I would just say, don't worry about what you think or worry about what you how you may come across. I think it's far more important to ask the questions. And if you don't understand or you don't know, just clearly say, I do not understand what you mean, or I want to understand more about this. Everyone responds differently. Some people want information to go away and look at. Some people want to have a face-to-face, and I'm a bit more of a face-to-face person. I do the reading as well, but only when I'm in the headspace, and it's, you know, it's a stressful environment. After about 2 or 3 days, Orson's temperature was fully back to normal. He was getting far more back to normal. His appetite was huge. What's really great in hospital, actually, is CFers get more calories. So when you get the order form for food, you get to order extra on top because they're CFers. So we would get like chicken nuggets and sausage rolls extra on both lunch and dinner, and breakfast we'd just get an extra piece of fruit or yogurt or something. So there was always plenty of food, and he absolutely loved it, which was great. And the CF team give you a portable fridge, so if there's one available, it's worth asking in Auckland. So the hospital room and ward, I mean, the staff are just unbelievable. The nurses were brilliant. They all loved Orson, interacted with him beautifully. Every time a nurse would come in and introduce themselves, he would be like, hello, I'm Orson, what's your name? And they'd introduce themselves. He'd repeat their name. And then he'd say, oh, what are you doing? Or I like your t-shirt. Or he'd sort of have a chat with them. And that was really sweet. And that kind of helped build little bonds with the nurses working, which was really enjoyable. In our room, we had our own bathroom. So the first couple of days we were there, we didn't have our own bathroom, but we were near the kitchen. So we had bonus of being near the kitchen, so I could make tea and toast and stuff. But then we moved, and then it felt quite luxurious. We had our own bathroom with toilet, shower, sink, and then we had a view of the helipad. So again, you know, that was something that Orson could kind of look at, watch helicopters land, and a lovely view of the Sky Tower and the night sky, which was much better than looking onto other wards and the emergency entrance that we were looking at the first few days we were there. So that was definitely an improvement as well. And overall, I found it pretty comfortable. You get a pull-down bed for the parent, and then there's the hospital bed. I went OTT in on home comforts, right? I packed a big suitcase, bought lots of cozy pajamas, comfy clothes, lots of changes of clothes for Orson, toys for Orson, our own pillows, our own duvets, our own blankets, anything that would make it as homely as possible. And because of that, it was just super, super comfortable in our room. And I slept really well. Sometimes we would swap. We would often swap maybe a couple of times a night, actually, where I'd go into the big hospital bed and he'd go into the little bed. And he started to prefer the little bed, which was okay by me because I was very comfortable in there. I never watched any TV or did anything like that because I'd just go to bed when he did. So I think that was actually quite good because you really need that rest. So I would just read a book and we'd go to sleep and he'd be asleep by sort of 8:30. And I'd read until 9:30. And, you know, he'd get his medications done at maybe 10 or midnight. There was different times in the night he'd get his medications done. And it was never a big disturbance. It was actually pretty okay. And he wouldn't really wake up. I would wake up momentarily, but that was it. So that was pretty easy. So I definitely recommend that you get as many home comforts as possible. And, you know, I did also go down and get do a little shop of treats. So I got some juice packs and little chocolates or biscuits. The other thing that was really good with a play specialist, she was amazing. On the days we couldn't make it, she would prepare something and bring it to the room for them, for him to play with. Otherwise, we'd go to the playroom, which he just adored. It had everything in there that he would want to play with, but they'd also have activities and that kind of thing. And she'd normally give us something to take back to the room for the afternoon as well, because they closed at 3. And because we had physio either side of the day, once he was well enough, after about 3-4 days, the doctor was happy for us to go out and about. So where Auckland Hospital is, we could walk to Auckland Museum through the domain, which was quite nice because there's a little cafe we could stop at and get a chocolate milk and then walk to the museum, which is free for Aucklanders. And we actually did that 3 times. And there happens to be 2 T-Rex skeletons in Auckland Museum at the moment. So obviously, you know, 3.5-year-old dream to look at some dinosaurs. And he actually loved those little outings. It was always a little bit of a struggle coming back to the hospital where he wouldn't necessarily want to walk all the way back, which would mean mummy carrying him back to the hospital, which was always fun. Another thing I found if we didn't fancy big walks was we could walk going down some long corridors in the hospital. He'd love that. Or walk around like a loop of the hospital, go to the shops and cafes, even just looking in the shop where they sold books and toys and things like that. We would like make a Christmas list or a birthday list or say what things dad would like or what things his brother would like. And he really enjoyed that. So overall, I think that we did pretty well in hospital. He responded really well to treatment. He got on with it. He had his moments, but he's a young child, that's acceptable. Adults have their moments too. And overall, I think he coped really well. And I was actually surprised at how well I coped in general. Again, the early days are the hardest. But as he got better, then obviously the worry starts to dip a bit. And after a week, he had another lung x-ray and there were improvements seen. So we knew we were on the right track and that was good. The only other thing that was kind of stressful was he never had a pick line put in. He actually had a line in his hand and he was booked in to have the pick line. But because we came in like on a Wednesday night, they didn't really book us in till the following Tuesday. And by that point, we'd been there for 5 days and the line in his hand was fine. He hadn't touched it. He wasn't bothered with it. So we kind of started to question, well, actually, I'm not sure we want to go under general anaesthetic when he's doing quite well. And there was quite a bit of pushback on that they felt he should have the pick line and we were more nervous about it. So we went back and forth. And once it got to day 7-8, I really was like, well, it really is pointless doing it because we could be out, you know, sooner rather than later. And because he's making progress, it doesn't look likely we'll be here for longer. But the main pushback was, oh, we don't want to have to keep putting lines in because those lines can maybe last a couple of days or they can play with them and that kind of thing. So lucky for us, he didn't. And he had the same line in his hand all the way through and he called it his robot hand. It was strapped up really well. He would walk like a robot, do the little robot moves and be like, oh, look at my robot hand, and you tell everyone about it. Never touched it. Yeah, so it never got changed. So actually he had one line for the 2 weeks he was in there, which was amazing. But funnily enough, when they unwrapped it and they went to go and take it out, it almost like shot out of his hand. So I think his body was like, okay, be gone. We've had enough of you. Well, another tip I'd say, actually, when you're leaving hospital, when on that happy, happy day when you get to leave hospital and you're exhausted, if you have done what I did and home comforted to the max, you're going to need some help getting out of hospital. So either you're going to have two adults or an extra adult. Because I think we did 3 or 4 trips, but it was a bit awkward because I had me and Ian and I had both kids. And at this point, Orson is full of beans because he's well. So I'm trying to contain these two children, 6-year-old and 3-year-old, and pack up the room and get everything in the car. We've got to go back and forth to car park. So, you know, if you can get a bit of extra help, you can maybe have someone outside pulled up in a car waiting. And that kind of makes things a bit easier because that was quite an epic adventure. Oh, well, the other thing I think I didn't mention was the lollipop people from the lollipop radio. They were so great. They would come do a play with the kids in the evening, which was perfect, sort of just pre-bedtime, make sure they're worn out, and they'd get colouring things, they'd play some games, they'd make things, and it was a really nice visit. And there's also a couple of times in the evening when Radio Lollipop's on and they're playing, and we went down with the kids and we all had a dance around with the music, so that was a really cool little thing. So we basically just made the most of a bad situation. The one thing that was quite difficult, as well as being in hospital with your own child, is being on a children's ward, and there's other children, and some of them very young or babies, and that's hard to be around. You talk to other parents, you hear other people's stories, which again can weigh quite heavy on you because you're already feeling heavy. And beautiful Mother Nature gave me my period when I was, like, the day that he got admitted as well, so I was extra fragile and emotional as I get at that time. So that did not help the situation. But yeah, I did find it really, it did hit me hard seeing the other children in there as well and hearing the stories from other parents. And you're all just trying to keep it together. But you sort of feel like on the inside, we're all a wreck, but we're kind of trying to have normal adult conversations, which you kind of afterwards think, oh, you know, that was hard to do or to talk about. And it must have been so hard for them to share, you know, that bit of information while making a cup of tea with a stranger. But you sort of, I think you all know you're in there for, no one wants to be there. It's not a good place to be. So you sort of all know we're not here. None of us are here for fun, kind of thing. But it became challenging when Orson was doing really well and was still on antibiotics, but he was so much back to himself that he started just escaping his room, running up and down the hallways, giggling and all this sort of stuff. And I felt really awkward and terrible because I couldn't control this kid. He just kept bolting. And I felt terrible for people trying to rest, or they had other kids in rooms and my kids being a maniac running up and down. So I did have to keep him busy and I did have to take him out for walks a lot. That's about it for a hospital update. Getting home was another thing, because I found that I actually was surprised when I was in hospital how well I coped with it. Other than the first couple of days when I was uber emotional, I think part of it, once I got home, I sort of had a second wave of sort of grief and depression. I found it really hard because I think you're partly just really exhausted. We were all sick at this time as well. Like, my other son had been sick. Both me and Ian ended up on antibiotics as well. I was sick through the whole hospital stay because you just don't fully, you don't focus on yourself. So you're worried about them. So it probably had a solid 6 weeks of us as parents being sick as well, trying to get over this horrible flu. So, I mean, that adds a sort of depressive to your being anyway. Trying to balance with work and school with the other child and parent, and try and not be miserable or angry or snappy with the children. But at the same time, trying to look after yourself. And that's really, really tough. So I definitely felt things hit me a lot when I went home, and I kind of wanted to just hibernate and not really talk to anyone. And I felt very depressive at that time. And I think I cried quite a bit when I came back that first sort of 5 days home, just readjusting. And there's also quite a lot to do because you come back and then you've got to organise all the stuff that you packed and washing to do and stuff in the house that hasn't been sorted because no one's been properly at home and that kind of thing. So if I had a tip, if you have that kind of family support or close friends that you can ask, I would prep for that. Get someone to help you, you know, tidy the house up before you come home or change the bed linen or put a wash on for you. And people are really open to helping, but you normally do have to ask specifically for what you want because people don't know what's useful. But yeah, so I think that would be our summary of our experience of, you know, the last few months. So I had a little chat with Orson to ask him about his experience in hospital. And so this will cheer everyone up because Orson basically says it's the best thing that's ever happened to him. So you can listen now to the final word from the man himself, Orson. Hello, Orson.
I love Mummy and Daddy. And
Bobo. We love you too, Orson. I wanted to ask you about your stay in hospital.
It was great. The T-Rex was moving and it got a switch.
Yeah, you got given a T-Rex by the nurse. That was nice. And what else did you remember about hospital?
I know. Then the doctor gave me pats.
Oh, you got your physio from the doctor. You had your pats. And what about the toys?
It was great.
It was great. What was great about the toys?
It was good.
Did you have a playroom?
Yeah.
And what was it like?
Good.
Now, what about your food?
It was good and yummy.
What was your favourite food in hospital? Sausage rolls?
No, my favourite is...
Cake?
Yeah.
Cake. You had cake puddings, didn't you?
Cake puddings.
Yeah. And what about your room? What do you remember about your room in hospital?
Good. And it got lots of toys inside.
Yeah, you were very lucky. And we decorated it. And you had your own duvet.
My own duvet.
And what about toys? Which toys did we bring from home? Do you remember?
I know my favourite dinosaur is... the switch one.
What about when you had to have your masks and you had a Darth Vader mask?
Yeah.
What was that like? What noise did it make?
Like this. I'm Darth Vader!
But didn't it make a noise like. And did you have steam come out?
Yeah.
And was that cool, like a dragon mask?
Yeah.
What else do you want to ask? What about the nurses? What did you think of the nurses?
They were exciting and exciting.
They were exciting? Why? Is there anything else you'd like to say?
I love my dad and mamas and Bobo.
Oh, that's lovely, awesome. We love you too.
You are listening to What to See Up.
Good boy.